Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
We don't have time for this. We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gayamagal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present, and emerging.
Hey, bestie.
Do you know what I don't have time for?
Oh my God, I love this podcast so much, you guys.
Hey, best. Hi, Jim. Hey, Sam.
Do you know what I don't have time for this week?
Imposter syndrome.
I love support.
What do I do with that?
Thank you.
Hello. Welcome to Bestie Hotline.
Bring, bring.
I'm your host, Kate Reeves.
And I'm Gemma Peanut.
And it's Friday.
It sure is, Rebs.
Well into February.
Yep.
The year's finally kind of starting.
Mm-hmm.
We're all back at school.
Thank the Lord.
I mean, this is the longest summer that ever was.
I was not prepared for this, Rebsy.
No.
Not going to lie.
No.
It dragged.
Can I give you a little bit of like from the future talk about
always
school mum life? I think it took me like 3 years to accept the school calendar.
Excellent.
Like, I think this is the first year I've been like, yeah, it drags. Okay. Like, get on with it, Rebs. You know what I mean? Like, it took me years to accept I wasn't on the daycare system of like, just take my kid every day
and leave them till 6 p.m.
Oh,
if
yeah,
you
no
need to.
Those days are over.
I think this is the new trench era that I've entered.
From one trench
yes
to another.
The school holiday calendar. You know, I had a school teacher slide into my DMs and she was like, from a teacher mama to a mama, it's cooked.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, but there is no other way around it.
You just have to accept it.
You have to move through it.
Surrender. Like, this is your life now.
I know.
In a few years, the kids will, they'll be able to handle life a little better and it'll be less annoying.
I know the next holidays are just going to knock on my door and it's like, here we go, free range kids again. Figure it out. And I'll be like, I don't want to.
You know what? Like, something I've also never done, but I would like to give you as advice.
Mm-hmm.
Book your Easter holiday camps now.
Yes.
Book it now so you don't go, oh, what? Again? Again.
Am I going to book it now?
I don't know.
I don't even know what's available. This is the thing. I feel like
I'm at a quick Google, Gemma.
I'm at a disadvantage. There are people in the know, like the good mum. She told me about this camp in the summer holidays and she said it's really sought after and hard to get in.
Yep.
And this is how much it costs. It's so affordable and they do X, Y.
Yep.
And I was like, can I get Raph in? She's like, oh no, babe, you needed to book that in October.
Yeah.
We're talking Jan. And I was like, cool.
Yeah, so book for next whatever.
I need that memo.
Who's giving you the memo?
Who do you think works for you, Jim?
You know when they say like, oh, they say blah, blah, blah. I'm like, where's they?
Who are they?
Who's getting the pamphlets? Because they're not ending up in my letterbox. I'm about to blow your tiny mind.
Go on.
The good mum is not in the know. No one's sending her a memo. She gets online and she looks it up and she books it.
I don't believe that she looks anything up. She's hearing shit from the grapevine. And I'm not on the grapevine.
Are you okay?
No. I need help.
Jem, you are here to help you. Get online, find some camps and book.
No.
Okay, fine. Well, I can't wait to have this discussion again,
Rebs,
in April.
Googling school holiday camps is on par with Googling some skin disease. It all ends in death.
What do you mean?
It's overwhelming.
It's really not. The overwhelming part is that you put it off. If you actually did it, you'd be like, oh, that was quite easy. Oh, there we go. I'm sorted. But instead, you pretend you're never going to have to deal with this stuff. And then the day rolls around and me and producer Kate get a text. Hey, guys, I've just realized tomorrow.
Rebsy, you said I've got 3 years to adjust. I'm in year one. Give a girl a
you're
break.
You're in kindergarten.
Yeah. Cut this mama some slack.
All right. All right. Fair enough. I'm giving you the memo that you so desperately want.
I want exact activities, the cost, like I need value, you know, like how many hours.
Oh my God.
Well, some
you want too much.
Rebsy, some school holiday camps are like $120. Others are $70.
I know.
Yes. What's your point?
My point is you're waiting for this like magical EA in your life that is not coming.
Do you know what?
She's not coming.
I'm the family EA.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm in the wrong job.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We've figured it out. You have been miscast.
I have.
As mother.
Shall we get into the episode?
It's a bestie hotline.
Shall we hear who called the bestie hotline today?
Hey girls, you know what I don't have time for? Waiting for you guys to talk about Saltburn. Jem teased it out on Insta not long ago and said you would give us the biggest rundown, and I want to hear it. Please discuss.
Oh, yeah.
It's murder on the dance floor.
Oh.
But you better not steal the groove. DJ.
Okay.
All right, we're doing it.
This is the dilemma of the day.
It's a bit rogue.
The dilemma is that we didn't talk about something we said we would talk about. Mm. Okay, I'm here. I'm ready. Saltburn. When did you watch it? Early in the wave?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, way early in the wave.
Okay.
I didn't hear all the whispers and the gossip. I had one person go watch Saltburn, Google nothing, just do it.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. When you really respect someone's opinion and you know. It's like she's the same person who said, watch Catfish, the documentary, Google nothing. And my tiny mind was blown.
Yeah.
So put Saltburn on really casually with Hubs. He was like, what's this? I was like, heard it's good. Weren't we in for a ride?
What did he think?
Loved it, of course. Well, loved and loathed it is kind of the feeling. We got to the end, and I know a lot of people share this feeling. Not dissimilar to Barbie, where I walked out and went, I say walked out like I went to a cinema, I just watched it at home, where it ended and the credits rolled and I went, what did I just watch?
Mm.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it makes you think. And then I thought about it for days after. What about you, Revsy? Where in the wave of popularity were you when you watched
it? So I believe I was like, Jen, we've got to watch Saltburn at the top of the wave. I was like, everyone's talking about it. We've got to watch it because we've got to talk about it, whatever. And then I didn't. You did.
And I nagged the shit out of you.
Have you watched it? And I was like, oh no, I will. And then I didn't because I guess I was traveling.
Busy living your life?
Just living my life. And then I watched it with Americano.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we were on the tail end. I hadn't seen any bits of it and I hadn't heard the shocking moments.
Okay.
But I knew people were like either grossed out or shocked or like, you know.
So it's a different experience because I think when there's groundswell about a film, you know, when people come up to you and they're like, you need to, and I won't say anything. I'm anticipating something. There's going to be a shocking something or some revelation that's going to blow my mind. So I think it is a different experience because I've had feedback from people who I've really sort of done the, hey, have you checked out Saltburn? Like I'm trying to not G it up too much. Yeah.
This would be a good point in the show to say, spoiler alert, we will be talking about it all, I imagine.
100p.
So if you haven't watched it yet, maybe pause this, watch it and come back because I would like to get into it.
If you don't want to watch it yet, but don't mind spoilers, you're in for a ride.
We say this so confident we know we're going to talk about. Okay, so first of all, I will say I loved Promising Young Woman, Emerald Fennell's last film.
Yep.
And she's the filmmaker who made this. So just a bit of behind the curtain, I was watching it with the lens of like, okay, so when Promising Young Woman did super well, they must have been like, what do you want to make next? And this must have been it because it's her next film. I know she did Killing Eve.
Yep.
She was on Killing Eve for ages. So I loved Promising Young Woman. I love Killing Eve. That's what I brought to it when I was watching is I like her. Jacob Elordi I like a lot from Euphoria.
Yep.
He's Aussie, right?
He is.
Yeah.
It's such a strategic move by Emerald Fennell. Like, I think she's a true artist, filmmaker.
100%.
But I think that was a very strategic move.
Because he's like the it boy.
He is the it boy.
Yeah.
He's the poster boy.
Yeah.
You know, girls are sliding off their chairs and men over him. So
I mean, he's got it all.
He's
got the charisma. He's like insane at accents.
Yes.
Because he's American is amazing in Euphoria and he's British was incredible in this.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, the casting was
okay,
chef's
so
kiss.
Let's start from the head.
Okay.
I thought the opening was brilliant. Like I was in from the start.
Okay.
Now, for DLs who haven't watched this, let's talk about what genre it falls under.
Yeah.
It's like erotic psychological thriller.
Yeah.
Thematically, I think it's about desire, what happens when desire leads to absolute destruction within a person and that obsessiveness and jealousy. You know, I talk about this with Olivia Rodrigo's songs. Like I love this kind of chat because it's juicy, because it's almost shameful. And so it's like
dark corners of the human condition.
It is dark corners of the human condition. So I think you can break up the movie into before Saltburn and then once they arrive at Saltburn.
Okay.
There's two chapters.
The act one for me was giving Cruel Intentions.
Yes.
You know?
Like all the nostalgia.
Yeah, just like that institution, like privileged kids, status struggles with personalities and like the cool kids and the nerds basically.
Yeah. Instantly, because it's set in 2000, 2006. Mm. And by the way, Emerald Fennell calls it a period film.
Oh my God, we're so old.
She's like, 2006 was nearly 20 years ago.
Well, she's right.
She
I
is
guess.
Right. And costume department had to research 2006. Anyway, the music. I've got to start with the music right from the beginning. It is brilliant. It is nostalgic. It takes you on a journey. And the cinematography.
But what about the choral, like classical as well? I thought that was really cool.
Oh, in the opening.
Yeah. It was
yeah.
sick.
Yeah.
Super cool.
So I don't know. I'm always drawn into a film by the soundtrack. Yep. Almost first
yep.
and foremost. I watch a film through my ears, basically. It's like how people's voices can annoy me. But the other thing that grabbed me was the cinematography.
Oh, yeah, gorgeous.
It is beautifully filmed. Mm. And the first thing you will notice is the aspect ratio in which it is filmed in.
That's the first thing we'll notice.
You didn't notice that?
I did, but I don't think the GP is like the first thing everyone will notice.
Really?
I don't think so. It's cool.
It was the first thing Hub said to me. He's oh, okay. like, he okay. goes, is this a square movie? And I'm like, no. I was like, no, babe, it's 3x4.
It's, yeah, yeah. It's of the era.
It's rectangular. But yeah. yeah. So aspect ratio is obviously the film framing.
Mm-hmm. When we used to have TVs that were like that.
Yeah.
Things were made
square,
for that screen.
And then we got cinematic and yeah. we had panoramic. And I love the choice of the 3x4 mm-hmm. aspect ratio because you instantly in this place of discord because it's a bit uncomfortable. Yeah. It's unnatural.
I didn't feel that. I felt nostalgia. Like it was giving Cruel Intentions. It was giving the movies I used to watch when I was really young and looking at older people
yeah.
living life and thinking, oh, is that what my life will be when I'm in university?
Yeah.
It gave a lot of nostalgia for me. That's what the choice did for me.
And this is what I love about this film is it speaks to millennials on one level and it speaks to Zoomers on a different because Zoomers won't have that nostalgia.
Yeah, no.
But for them, it's like, hey, this feels odd.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. It's yeah. not wide. It's tall and narrow. Loved that choice.
I think that's like how we like a 70s aesthetic, but we have no reason to. We didn't live through it. We don't know what it is. It just feels
cool.
You know, that's what they have with the Y2K. That's what they call it, Y2K.
I know, it's so
like
funny.
Y2K for us was like a looming disaster, and for them, it's like a fashion label.
Revs. You and I wrote an a cappella song about Y2K.
Again, we can't. We're already getting full nerd on a film review. I don't think we can talk about our a cappella days.
Why not?
It's too much.
DLs, we toured.
Stop.
Toured in inverted commas. Y2K.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop. We did a cappella competitions.
It's
okay,
fine.
We slayed.
Back to Saltburn.
That's all we need to say. Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the 3 MCO Beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number 2 would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it. Called it.
I mean, I love the Sun-Kissed Bronze look, obviously. Especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be...
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favourite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today. So I will say, can I go macro for a bit? It didn't shock me for 1 second. Nothing shocked me.
Okay.
Are people not having real sex? Like, what is shocking about it? Is it just that this kind of sex maybe hasn't been put on film? I thought we were all supposed to be ruined with porn. Like, this is like baby shit, I thought.
Okay, so I didn't have that experience.
Okay.
I was definitely squirming in my seat.
Over which moment? The period sex or the bathwater slurping?
Okay, so we're jumping straight there. So
Why
we're not going to go in any chronological
That's all
order.
That's
all
anyone's really talking about.
All right, well, let's start with the bathtub scene.
Okay.
So for DLs who haven't seen it,
I can't believe you're still here.
So Barry Keoghan plays a character called Oliver who is infatuated with Jacob Elordi's character, which is Felix. And there's this incredible scene where Felix is masturbating in this beautiful bathtub.
Clawfoot.
It's a clawfoot bathtub in the middle of the bathroom.
In this very stately home.
Now, the character Oliver is spying on Felix. And at this point, you think, oh, Oliver's going to join him in a wank, but from the sidelines.
Ooh.
No, he doesn't. Instead, he waits for Felix. Felix to finish orgasming. Felix drains the bath. Felix exits the bathroom. And then the character Oliver proceeds to enter the bathtub, lie down and slurp the cum water.
Yeah, he drinks up the cum water.
Yeah, right by the drain. It's almost like he's making out
it's
with the
beautifully
drain.
Beautifully shot.
Okay.
It wouldn't have been easy to do either.
No, because they would have had to cut out the bathtub to get the camera there because the POV of the camera is floor level with him.
It's so, like in line with the drain and you sort of just see him like sucking up all the
and it goes on for a bit long. You know, Emerald Fennell lets moments linger where you're uncomfortable and then you almost get comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. You reach a point of acceptance and then you weirdly see the beauty in
it. But don't you think that's like real sex? Like this is the thing about sex in film and TV for so long. It's been like they start kissing, they get naked, boom, three thrusts, everyone's coming together. Yeah. And it's like that's the only version of sex we've ever seen on film. And then real sex is like, okay, we're starting. Oh, it gets a little awkward. Oh, it's going a little long. Then you get comfortable with it.
Totally.
Like it's just she's got more of an honest lens on that kind of thing, I think, which is probably why it's so shocking.
And what I loved about that moment and actually reflecting on the film as a whole is Oliver never has a physical intimate moment with Felix.
No.
When you think about his moment with Venetia, which we'll get to, the way he wanks off Farley, almost blackmailing him in the same moment, he doesn't have that with Felix. So I feel like this is the closest way to get to Felix. It's almost like Felix is so aspirational, unattainable, that the best he can get is the dregs of his cum water.
Well, until he fucks his grave.
Yes. We haven't got there yet, Revs. Well, speaking of spoilers, Revs is just jumping ahead.
Well, that's what happens next.
No, we've got to talk about the vampire moment.
Okay, yeah, all right.
So with the bath scene, the famous bath scene, I found that iconic.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant choice.
Yeah.
Like really brave, cool
and I'd never
theater moment.
Seen anything like that before.
But it wasn't gratuitous. It made sense.
Yes.
And then with the twist at the end, you can kind of go back there and go, yeah, he wants to be him. Like, he's obsessed with him and I guess infatuated and he looks at him as like having everything, but he wants to actually become him.
Yes.
So then, why wouldn't he like drink his seed? From a thematic theatrical choice, it makes sense. It's not just like, ew, you're being gross and shocking me. Like, it made sense to me.
100p.
As a choice.
So can we talk about the Venetia moment? The Dolmio grin, if you will. Vampire Diary.
Oh my God, please explain the Dolmio grin to our international listeners.
Now, Dolmio.
This is so Aussie. This,
it's a very Australian reference. Dolmio is a brand of pasta sauce. And Dolmio grin, if you can imagine someone smearing Dolmio pasta sauce all over your face, it's the perfect visual to accompany the idea of someone going down on someone who
has their period.
Who has their period.
Dolmio had an ad in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. It was like, you're wearing the Dolmio grin. As in you'd just eaten a bowl of spaghetti and you had like a stain around your mouth and then that became a sex thing.
Of course it did. It got hijacked and sexualized just like everything.
So he starts to finger her, I
guess. Well, I found this scene shocking for the sake of shocking.
Yeah, this made less sense.
I've tried to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. I've tried to get in Emerald Fennell's head. And the only bow I could draw from this moment is that because Felix is unattainable, his blood sibling is the closest he can get to Felix. So he goes down on her while she's got her period. Now, I found it shocking. I didn't like when he fingered her and then proceeded to put his blood fingers in her mouth and make her consume her own menstruation. That was a lot.
When you put it that way. But also this comes with your clean girl thing.
You know,
you are a squeakers sex participant. You like everyone involved to be very clean.
Yep, showered, teeth brushed.
This is just not for you.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel clever and cool like the bathtub moment.
I'm getting from your analysis that you think this film is more about Ollie and Felix, whereas I didn't get that. That's not what I took away from it. I took away that it was like him trying to get inside this family and like infiltrate from every angle. like a cancer. Mm. And so he was picking them off one at a time. I mean, like, he was definitely infatuated with Felix almost as like the main character energy, like the head of the family. And he wanted to be him. Mm. That was very clear. But I felt like he was just playing power moves on each of them individually and just like getting to them at different points. And I felt like what he was doing with her was obviously trying to like, you know, the story about this character was like, oh, she fucks everyone and she gives it up too easy. And like, there's no real conquest there. Mm. So he had to take it up a level and be like, oh no, I've literally drank your blood. Like we have a blood pact now. And then he kind of owned her because he had this power over her. And then he held a bit of her shame. Was how I took it.
Okay.
But again, it didn't like, I wasn't like, ooh, powerful. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it didn't feel powerful. Yeah. And you're right, Revs. My interpretation of the film is definitely that his infatuation with Felix is the catalyst for everything.
Right.
And everything else felt like a domino effect. That was my experience as I was watching the film.
Yeah.
And for me, that's more interesting. And we'll get to the end because I had problems with the ending.
Because it changed on you.
It did.
Yeah. That's what I thought for the first two thirds of the film. I was like, okay, he's obsessed with him. And then when he killed him, I was kind of like, what?
Mm.
And then I was like, oh. And then the twist wasn't very satisfying for me.
No, it wasn't. But can we talk about the first twist, which is when Felix discovers that Ollie is actually from a well-to-do upper middle class family.
Yes.
And not the orphaned
son of addicts.
Son of addicts with a very problematic upbringing. I thought that was a brilliant twist. And then with no
consequences.
No consequences, but also no further investigating into that. Like I was like, no, take me back to that.
Yeah.
I want to know more about that family and what led him to this path of destruction and web of lies and this need to be felt sorry for and this idea of not fitting into Oxford. It's like, no, bro, you fit in.
Yeah.
Like you actually do. And I thought that was sort of left open-ended and not really explored enough for me.
Well, when the film ended, I was like, huh. What was it about?
Yeah.
Like, what do I... Because, like, I felt like it's this, like, erotic thriller about this infatuation with this one man. Oh, no, it's about the whole family. Oh, no, is it about class?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, when we got to the end, I was like, oh, this feels like it's a class comment, like a comment on middle class, upper class, you know, and, like, he sort of cosplays as this lower class to get to the upper class, but actually he's just middle. And then was her comment, like, there's, like, you know, the rich, the one percenters just hover above us all, and even the middle class
can't get there.
You know, but it didn't like click in.
No.
But it felt inherently British.
Yes,
and I feel like I'm missing a piece because I'm not British. Is how I kind of. But then I don't know if that was.
No, I don't think you are missing a piece. I just feel like it was an amazing twist that got left unresolved and unexplored.
Because at the end of the film, you're like, oh, so he'd set this up from the top.
Yeah, so
with the bike and all that stuff.
That's right. So DL's basically. The big twist of the film is that the whole thing was calculated and premeditated.
Yeah.
And I absolutely hated it.
You felt tricked and cheated, but not in a satisfying way.
Correct. It almost like took the wind out of the narrative sails for me. Like I thought the narrative was strong up until this point. I was like, fuck, what's he going to do next? And then as soon as there was the reveal, and also it was so explicit and expositional. It was like Emerald Fennell went, I'm going to take you back to all the moments and show you how he got here. And I thought a more interesting character journey for me, not that I'm the one directing this, is actually seeing a boy who pulled the thread of infatuation and desire, and then it led to this domino destruction, and then he carried all
and
this
it
shame.
Got beyond him.
It got beyond him, and then he ended up killing Felix and assisting in Venetia's death, and then it was all calculated that he just wanted Saltburn in the end. And then it felt far-fetched and unrealistic to me.
But I think he wanted the status. He wanted to be the owner of Saltburn because of what it says about him and his place in the world.
No, I get all that.
Yeah.
But it felt shallow to me. I thought it was much more interesting to find himself in this journey and feeling his way through and, oh, actually, I want this and I can have it and I can take over and I can get rid of everyone.
And I am smarter than all of them.
And it can be mine. But when when it's all premeditated, I just went, oh no, that's on par with like, and I woke up and it was all a dream.
Right, yeah.
It felt unsatisfying.
I think it could be interesting because we don't see, like, since the 80s erotic thrillers, like I'm thinking Fatal Attraction, mm-hmm. we haven't had characters like that for a while in film and TV. I'm thinking Killing Eve is kind of one of mm-hmm. them. She's a psychopath. So yeah. Emerald Fennell is clearly concerned yes. with this kind of like very manipulative, very obsessive character. Mm-hmm. And I think there is an interesting story in there. I think you felt ripped off because you thought you were watching one thing and then it changed into another thing.
Yeah.
But can we talk about the grave fucking now?
Yes. Okay. So shocking moment number three is...
He literally fucks a grave.
When Oliver fucks a grave. I saw a video discussing this moment with Emerald Fennell, and she facilitated a closed set for okay. Brian Keegan.
Yeah, to really go for it.
And it's raining and he's standing on the grave, and she said that all she said to Brian was, how would Oliver say goodbye to Felix
oh, wow.
in this moment? It was not scripted.
Ooh.
Yes.
It's an actor's
but
choice.
She kind of said she hoped he would go there, but yeah. she didn't want to pressure him okay. or force him or suggest it. And he went there.
Yeah.
He right. stuck his cock in the moist, freshly laid soil and humped it in the rain.
It stuck his cock
and
in the
And do you
moist
know what?
At this point, I'm like, yeah, story checks. Fitting. Oliver probably would
we're
do
here
that.
Now.
Yeah, we're here now.
By that point, I wasn't shocked.
No. I did love the theatre of it. It reminds me of theatre, like the really full-on orchestral music choice.
Heavy
the
rain.
The one shot, heavy rain, and this like staying with it too long, yep. as you said. Yeah, I enjoyed it. But I wasn't like in it on the edge of my seat or anything like that. I was like, all right,
no,
we're doing this.
And I certainly wasn't like, oh my God, no. formidable. I was like, yeah.
Clutch my pearls.
Mm. Yeah. But it felt appropriate.
Sure. At this point, you're like, cool, what yeah. else are you going to do? Like, yeah. it was that kind of film. I also really enjoyed the family completely shitting the bed when Felix died and that whole scene with the red curtains and
Revs.
The red wine stuff. It's theatre. It's like, reminds
so
me of Shakespeare.
Glad you brought that up.
It was cool.
It is, I think, one of the best written scenes
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. And the acting is mwah.
We have not talked about Rosamund Pike.
What a boss.
She is brilliant.
So good.
And just looking at that aftermath moment, like what happens, and so British.
Yes.
How you don't lean into your feelings too hard. Don't talk about it. Keep it together and changing the subject.
Yeah. And obviously that was very heightened to make a point.
Of course.
But that's, I think, why I keep thinking about the film. I would hazard a guess. I don't know. I haven't done a YouTube vortex. Maybe I need to, but it feels like she wanted to make something about class. And then like that scene felt the most realized to me because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, this is where you're actually saying what you want this film to say.
Yeah.
And I feel like because it was only one scene in a larger, very glamorous, very shocking, very mm-hmm. Zuma style film,
yeah.
maybe it got lost, but that felt like the truth of what the film was trying to do.
Yes.
And it was cool. Like the red, we're getting real film nerdy here, but everything in the film or a theatre show, whatever, DLs, it's a choice.
It's a choice.
Right? And so someone said, let's have red blinds. So mm-hmm. the whole room is like blood, mm-hmm. basically, and like just this high octane, high temperature pressure cooker place. And it was just a cool choice,
yes.
you know?
One of my favourite details, and I don't know if you picked up on this, but I was like, oh, I jizz on this stuff, is the first scene where Oliver walks into Saltburn in the reception room with the butler,
yeah.
also brilliantly cast.
Yeah.
It's shot from a really high angle down, and this is what I like about the aspect ratio is you get the height more than the width.
Mm.
And so you got the sense of high ceilings, and in the corner was a chandelier. And at this point, Saltburn's pristine. The house is kept together. They haven't thrown the big party. There isn't mess, but there's a G-string.
Oh,
on the chandelier.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my, the detail of that, the consideration and the choice behind that to show that many parties have been had and just one pair of undies got missed that ended up on a chandelier like 5 meters high on the ceiling.
Yeah. I think it's really cool what Emerald Fennell does with sex. Mm. Like, she's obviously really shame-free and interested in it as a concept and a topic. And I hope she keeps making stuff in this space because it is interesting. I think it's really funny how it divides or shows up where our shock lines lie individually. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, are people not having real sex? Mm. Like, people swallow cum, like actual full strength cum. Like, what is shocking about diluting it down with water? You know, it's like, it's just easier.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't agree with you there,
I just wasn't shocked, but I found the beauty and the choices really cool.
But it's not the swallowing of cum that's shocking. It's the secrecy.
The character.
That is what's engaging and interesting, and this obsessiveness. Yeah. What you talked about that line between, am I in love with you or do I want to be you, you know? Mm.
And obviously, like, Jacob Elordi's character wasn't participating in that sex. Yeah. It was like one-sided,
like,
sex.
How would you feel
if you guzzled my cum bath?
No, let's do something different. You scrubbed your vag, right, with a bit of a soap bar. Sure, okay. pH balance
thrush
and all that.
Thrush coming my way.
And I walked into the shower and licked the bar to get the dregs of your vag juice in my mouth.
Love you. Is this a podcast? Is this going out into the world? Okay, let me put this to you, Revsy. What if you had a shower and I licked the walls of your vag? Like, this is our job.
I hope
I never found out about that. But good for you. I'm glad you're that into me.
Let me ask you this. If you found out about it, would you find it shocking? Would
you? Yes! Thank you!
I find it shocking.
That is the point of the bath scene. It's not the cum guzzling. It's the secrecy and the obsessiveness and and what people do in private.
It's fascinating.
It is.
You know?
We've got to wrap this up.
Okay, we really do.
Would you recommend it for a watch?
I actually think people need to watch it because I think it's an iconic pop culture movie. And it will be referenced. We haven't even talked about the Sophie Ellis-Bextor Murder on the Dance Floor iconic scene. Yeah. In the same way people reference Tom Cruise in Risky Business, it is that famous now.
100%.
And it is brilliant. Like, that is an Emerald Fennell, fuck, you should win awards for this.
Yeah, I hope she
does. To dream up this idea, to use that song, to bring that song back into our ears.
I know, it's like the Kate Bush song that had a resurgence last year, year before. Yeah, I know, it's fun.
I honestly feel like it's a love letter to millennials.
Yeah.
And we watch it on a different level. And I think it's a hate letter to upper class England.
Yeah. I 100% recommend a watch. Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. You've got to get on the train for sure.
Even if you don't enjoy it, even if it makes you uncomfortable, you can go, okay, I've seen it. Yeah. I know what people are talking about.
It's an experience. It that's is an for experience. Sure.
And that's what I love about cinema. Revs, it's what you and I love about theatre.
Yeah. 100%.
It's an experience. And this is why we've had to talk about this. I mean, we were prompted by DL, obviously.
Yeah, but our rubber arm.
We had the same feelings about Barbie. Mm. We didn't perfectly love it.
Yeah.
And we didn't perfectly hate it. Yeah. We were somewhere in the middle. It was complicated and we had mixed feelings.
This is the cool thing about women making things. It's like there's just, I don't know, I think it's more complex, more interesting, more thought through, putting a lot out into the world. And I really enjoy consuming things made by women because they're complicated, nuanced, and fascinating. I'm here for it.
Same. Couldn't agree more.
Well, thanks for coming to our movie show.
Well, the DL asked and the DL got more than she asked for.
No one will ask for that again.
We love you, DL.
If you're still here, we will be back in your ears bright and early on Tuesday morning with our regular show. Thanks for tuning into the Bestie Hotline today.
And we hope you have a lovely, sexy weekend ahead.
No baths.
Bye-bye.
Bye.